The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Rightio, welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. It's Kerr's Hire style. I've got a little bit of dementia, a bit of lockdown. We're only a few hours in and I'm already forgetting my own name, how to tie my shoelaces and all passwords. Do you know what people should do out there? Because you know you can never remember passwords.
Right.
And I think I've told you this before.
You may have.
It's a very good way of just dealing with the password problem.
And that is?
You make every password incorrect. Because when you go to put it in, it will say your password is incorrect. And it just jogs your memory. You don't have to worry about, oh, did I put in, you know, Bob and Mary 29 or Kingy and Benny 64 or... Anyway, what were we talking about? The Cats.
Because last week was probably eminently forgettable as a game of football.
It wasn't great, but the Cats got the job done. That's what you've got to do. Long season.
But they were playing against a team that weren't really preparing to win a game of footy. They were there just to limit the damage.
Yeah, potentially, and you sort of get that to a degree, given what happened to them the week before, the old Gold Coast Suns. And I mean, mind you, they got within a... Had Ben King kicked that goal, it would have been back to a point.
Yeah, so, a point? No, it would have been within a kick.
A point, I reckon.
Nah, four.
That was 7 points and he missed and it made it a goal.
I thought it was 10 to bring it back to four.
Anyway, it was within shrink the tight range.
Yes.
So I don't know if
They were never losing at Geelong.
Well, probably not. But mind you, if you're saying you're playing to, you know, just to save face and then within midway through the third quarter you're getting within a kick, you sort of must be doing something right. But anyway, the Cats got the job done. I see Cam Guthrie's playing this week.
He'll be right.
Well, what actually happened? He came off like he'd been sort of shot from the grassy knoll.
It was a mild sprain to his AC joint.
I love a mild sprain. It looked worse than that. Do you reckon he'll be the old late withdrawal?
No, I don't think so. Chris Scott did his media conference. So this is Friday afternoon. We're recording this. Chris Scott did his media conference at lunchtime and said he'd play. But the fact they let him go back on the field, Benny... Yeah, that can't have been too serious.
No, that's right. That's right. That was a good sign. Mind you, he was very tentative, and they only played him up forward.
Yep.
So, and then when the game was late in the game, that he came off altogether. But, it was when he came off, you thought, oh, wow, that doesn't look good, because he was in a fair bit of pain.
You got hit. But right then you thought, well, no Duncan next week, because we knew it was a concussion.
Mm.
And then you take out Guthrie as well, and still no Dangerfield back, and you go, geez.
It's three of their...
Interesting midfield they'll take into next week.
It's sort of their... It's their three... You know, I don't know how many prongs they've got in the midfield, but there's three of the prongs wouldn't be playing. But yeah. I see Taylor Adams is out for Collingwood, so he's one of their prongs.
That balances that up.
Yeah. Have you ever been a late withdrawal?
No, I haven't.
You never?
No.
Right.
No. I either wasn't playing or I played through.
Right, okay. I love a late withdrawal, but anyway.
Geelong have been doing it for a long time.
I've had a few of them when you're on the gas and you're making a late withdrawal out of the ATM.
To keep yourself hydrated and to keep the tote account going as well.
Well, you know, maybe even later than that, you know, when there's no more, unless you're sort of getting on, you know, Swedish trots, which has happened.
Have you ever gone through the night and then next thing you know, you find yourself, you're betting on Yonkers
every now and then?
Harness racing.
Yeah, I'm more, yeah.
You've rolled out of Sha Tin and all of a sudden it's the first at Yonkers.
Yeah.
And if you're really good, guess what?
You're on Haydock.
Well, you're on the first at Trentham over in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, that starts about 9 in the morning with the time difference. But no, I don't... Sort of get involved in the... Well, you're on the old Perry Bar Rats on Stilts over there in England. They come on about 11 o'clock at 11 o'clock at night. They only have 6 in the Rats on Stilts over there.
In the UK, do they?
Yeah, and they're staggered.
Right.
So you get handicapped. Do you know what it does?
Yeah.
I've watched a bit of this.
Yes.
Right? I haven't punted on it, but I have watched a bit.
I don't think you've watched it.
I may have just sort of nibbled on something that sort of caught my eye out of box 5. But what it does, it actually makes for relatively clean greyhound racing. Our greyhound racing is just a schmozzle sometimes.
Well, it's the horse that doesn't get checked. That's the dog that doesn't get checked, basically.
Well, pretty much.
You can be the favourite, and you can be the raging dollar one favourite, but if you get checked at that first turn...
If the dog next to you hasn't been fed his pal or his schmackos and he just wants to head straight for the rail, your beast is cooked. Whereas because they stagger them, And not all races are taken, but some are, and there's only six. It actually makes for clean, much cleaner racing.
It's a bit stall gift-like, is it?
It is a bit, without the sort of cheating like goes on in the stall gift that's been going for 1,000 years when someone would eat 700 pies and run the 100 in about 14 minutes, and then 3 weeks later they're running it in 9.94, and the bookies are checking their betting sheets, and they've never heard of Moses Kiptanui. It's a disgrace, that whole... No wonder it's gone pear-shaped. It's going backwards like the Italian army, the old stall gift, isn't it? Because people just cheat. They do. They cheat. They brought the system, and legally, though, but they just play dead.
So, well, if it's
there's
legal,
no other sport you can do
that. If
it's
not legal, it's not cheating.
There's no other sport where you can do that. Imagine you're racing, you're pulling horses up, and then which is what used to happen, because there wasn't 1,000 cameras head-on, side-on, steward vision, punter's vision, all that. You could just hook one, and then 3 weeks later come out and steam over the top at the 27 bucks. And no one would ask any questions. But now you can't do that. So you can't. People basically hook themselves in the stall gift, in that racing, that
amateur.
Professional sort of / amateur racing.
Yeah.
Anyway, cats were just doing enough last week.
Yes, they were.
To use a racing parlance.
Is Collingwood dangerous?
To live in?
No.
Can be.
Is the football team going to be dangerous for the Cats tomorrow?
Dangerous.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
As opposed to gangrenous.
Yes, I reckon. Well, you'd hope not, but yeah, you'd say yes.
I think they are.
Yeah, they were good last week.
They should have beaten Port Adelaide last week.
I actually did watch quite a bit of that game.
Goey worries me.
Yeah, he's the one that could sort of get hold of them. They're so light on. They've got a lot of kids in that team.
Another one, Bianco, is going to debut.
Yeah, on top of McCreary.
Well, he's not playing.
Right, he's out. He was out. Yeah. And there's the
Poulter.
The 27, yep, who kicked Poulter. A goal. Yep. He looks will-o'-the-wisp sort of style. Yeah. They got another dude down there in defence, whose name I'm going to have to learn. Blonde fella, number 12, who looked a little bit out of his depth, it must be said, last week, but he must be going around again. And, you know, no Howe, no Adams. They're not going on every cylinder, are the Pies. But any team's dangerous in the AFL, Kingy. Just ask Hawthorn when they played North. I mean, you know, Hawthorn.
But this is a bit different, though. North playing Hawthorn is two teams.
I know, but you Collingwood aren't without some good players. We've said that all the players are out. They've still got Pendlebury, Grundy, Moore, Roughhead's playing really good footy.
Tom Wilson is the man you're thinking of.
Tommy, oh, that's it, Tommy.
He's a former basketballer.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yep.
So he's a good dribbler. He's 6'5", with the afro 6'9". That's off Fletch. He's a pretty good dribbler. Did you know, on the radio before, I was driving my vehicle, and I heard there's a show on a station where it's just dribble, really, but they started...
Some could argue that that's all this is.
Yeah, it is. It's 100, and you know what? They'd be 100% correct. That they started playing snippets of Caddyshack.
Oh, wow.
On 927.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, it was quite extraordinary. Oh. I got in the car and I'm thinking, sounds like Caddyshack. And then they proceeded to play about four or five clips.
Oh, what did they play?
They played the bit where he was the Masters champion. He was about to become the Masters champion.
Yeah, Carl Spackler.
Yeah, Carl Spackler. And they also played the bit, which is one of my favourites, when he wanted to get a can of Coke from the Caddyshack. And he says to him, he goes... He put his 50 cents over and he goes to him.
Oh, you ain't getting no coke.
Yeah. He goes, what's going on, 50 cents? He goes, Lou's been losing at the track. He goes, you ain't getting no coke. What's that sign say? Pick up that blood. Not that sign. Some of the lines in that movie are actually quite extraordinary. But
D'Annunzio wanted the coke.
And that's right, yeah. D'Annunzio.
Like, you know D'Annunzio.
Yeah. D'Annunzio. The best news in Lacey Underhill says, the old Lacey Underhill. She was quite extraordinary, Lacey. Yeah. And she was getting sick of dreary old Manhattan. I got sick of having fun all the time. And she's with Judge Smales on the first tee.
She was Judge's niece, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was extraordinary. Yep. Can you look for my stretch marks?
That was Judge. That was Mrs.
And
Smiles.
And obviously the one of the highlights too was Judge Smiles' little speech he gave when he was just he was christening his little little vessel.
It's easy to grin
when your ships come in and you got the stock market beat, But a man worthwhile is a man who can smile when his pants are too tight in the seat. And then he looks at his wife and he goes, do the honors, Pookie. And she snaps the end off the boat.
After she says, I christen thee the flying wasp.
And then she snapped with the bottle of champagne. She snapped the end of the boat off. Oh, yeah, it doesn't get old, and if you've sort of refreshed with something that's, you know, a little bit back.
If you haven't seen Caddyshack, please dedicate 2 hours of your life.
It's funny. You've got to be in the right frame of mind. Yeah. It's quite ridiculous, but it is very, very.
It holds up pretty well 40 years on.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in it.
Right, so do the Cats win tomorrow, Benny?
Well, I hope so.
How do they win?
Well, if they just play, if let's put it this way, if the Cats play to 90% of their capacity, they'll win. Yep. If they don't, and Collingwood can produce what they produced last week, then, the game, it'll be game on. Mm. I just hope Geelong, you know, you have two wins like they've had. You know, they sort of, you wouldn't say it was convincing against St Kilda, but they won.
Yep.
When the game was there to be won, they were too good for St Kilda. Mm-hmm. They were probably lucky to not be down early. Similar against Gold Coast, although they probably never felt like they were going to lose, even though it got close in the third quarter. They did enough to beat Gold Coast without not leaving the ground thinking, wow, what a performance.
Yep.
I just hope that doesn't flow on and you end up against an opponent like Collingwood who you think, yeah, well, they got a few out. You look at the betting, and I know the betting players don't look at it, well, some might, but it's a dollar, what, $1.11 or something, Geelong?
Last I saw it was, $4.23 Collingwood, $1.11 Geelong.
So Geelong are the raging favourites. I just hope you just got to bring the right sort of mindset to that sort of game. And what you don't want and what nearly pulled Port Adelaide's pants down last week was they allow Collingwood to get the jump on them.
Yep.
And then they get a bit of confidence and then it can be hard to reel them in. So
that's where St Kilda probably would have beaten Geelong.
Yes.
If they had kicked some goals.
Well, I don't know if they would have beaten them, but it would have made things very, very difficult for the Cats had they been 3 or 4 goals down at quarter time. Yep. Because St Kilda got their bums in the air then. And Geelong have just got to, I think, if they start well, it's a cliche for every game, but if they start well, particularly against a side that's probably got some doubts about itself, or seriously got some doubts about itself, having a shocking season on and off the field. If you get on top early, it can be like, oh, this is all too hard. Yeah. You just don't want them to get the jump and then be thinking, well, hang on, we're half a sniff here, and it makes it hard for the Cats to get back into it.
So the Cats, Max Holmes, will get another opportunity?
Yes.
And
I heard you say last week, and I don't watch the VFL like you do, but he was the medical sub last week.
The week before.
Oh, the week before.
Yeah, against
St Kilda. But you said that he'd played pretty poorly in the VFL.
He didn't have a great VFL, no.
So, yeah, okay. So they've clearly just want to get some games into him.
Yeah. And the other thing that's thrown a little bit of spanner in the works is the VFL are off this weekend. And, well, the VFL are off for as long as we're under lockdown. They won't play. So there's going to be blokes not getting games of footy. So it's going to make it hard for some blokes to get back into that side.
Yeah.
Look, you know, we know Dangerfield will be right post the bye. Actually, Geelong's injury list, if they can get through tomorrow, Geelong's injury list out the other side of the bye will be non-existent.
No, Myers is back too.
Myers will be back.
Dangerfield,
Simpson.
Duncan.
O'Connor, Duncan.
Yeah.
Tell you what, there's
going to be... Who's on the injury list then?
Well, that'd be Cooper Stevens.
One player, if they didn't get any injuries this week.
Correct, yep.
Yep. Yeah, right, so they've got a full
basically, full everybody list. Will be right after the bye. I think Myers might be 1 week behind that, but everybody should be basically right to go around that.
Yeah, well, it's to win this week, go 8-3.
And have a very, very healthy list.
And then they've got Bulldogs.
So Port, Bulldogs, Brisbane in June.
Port, yeah, well, that's a massive...
It's huge.
All in a row.
Yep.
Yeah, wow, that's a massive
and two
3 weeks.
On, two of them on the road.
If they could go 2-1 in that period.
Oh, yeah.
And be
come out of it 10-4.
Yeah, that'd be massive.
Then they run into Carlton, Essendon, Freo over there.
Yeah, but they're not going to just give you the game.
No, I know, but Geelong will start favourites.
Yeah, they will, yeah. And that's traditionally where sometimes you Geelong win the next three and then lose two of those games. Yeah. But the other thing, too, is with that block, I think you probably get a really good clear picture of where the Cats are at.
Yep, and what lineup they think is going to be the team that will.
Yep.
So where does their ruck stocks then stand? So
all is the Brisbane at the Gabba?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. And Adelaide's over there.
Port Adelaide over there.
Oh, jeez. And the Bulldogs down here.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a really defining week. 3 weeks, I reckon, in the Cats season. You'll get an idea of where they're at.
Because if you can go from 8-3 to 8-6 in the blink of an eye. And all of a sudden, you're going from not being top four to just holding on for a top eight.
Yeah, and they'll be aware of that. And obviously, it's, you know, pretty important too from just the overall standpoint of when you're playing those sides again. If Geelong were to get beaten by the Bulldogs down here,
yep,
that would be, you know, a big kick in the teeth. And
so it was second meeting.
If they're competitive in, well, let's hope they're competitive in all three. You'd expect them to be competitive. If they go 2-1 and are competitive in the other game, that'd be a massive tick.
Yep.
If they're 1-2 and they're really competitive in the two games that they lose, and it's
still all right,
it's a couple of goals, yeah, either way, you'd say, yeah, okay, well, there's still...
Because how often did Geelong get blown out?
No, they don't. Well, you'd hope not in a big game, but playing Port Adelaide away and playing Brisbane away, that's not an easy task. So, and if they were to lose all three and play well, that's probably a concern,
yep,
I would have thought. If they, you know, their better players play well and they look like they're going okay, yep, and they're still not capable of winning all three games,
yep,
that would be,
yep,
pretty...
wonder if they can do it at the back end of the season.
You'd think... Yeah, and plenty of time to change things around. But if that's happening across 3 weeks against teams that are going to be at the pointy end, you're probably going to be pushing the, you know what, uphill a bit.
So we just think effort on Saturday.
And yeah, good start and a...
90%.
Something between 90 and 95% should be enough to beat Collingwood.
Yep.
Just the only thing, my concern is that Darcy Moore and Jared Roughead, Jordan Roughhead are playing really good footy.
Mm.
He was great last week, Roughhead.
So who goes to Hawkins and who...
Well, Roughhead probably goes to Hawkins and Moore goes to Cameron.
They've got a match up for Rowan.
Maynard
go to Rowan?
Maynard or Crisp.
Yeah.
Although he's been playing in the midfield.
They want Crisp that far back.
Yeah. So Maynard would be a chance.
Rowan will have too much toe for Maynard.
Darcy Moore is one who can just get in the way all day if you just kick it long.
Yeah.
He's a class player. I think he's playing his 100th game.
He is.
So he'll want to be playing well. And, yeah, you just got to find a way around Darcy Moore and Roughhead. And
Geelong will have to be precise with their forward 50 entries.
Yeah.
They just can't bomb it in.
No, you got to be precise.
You do have to be precise.
Did you just burp?
No.
You did so? I thought you just... At the corner of your mouth, you just did a... Wind was expelled.
No.
I saw it. I actually saw it.
I was catching my breath.
No, you weren't.
Benny.
What?
Do you want to answer some questions?
Well, we can.
Hey, guys, stop me when I'm wrong about our current strategy. At the ball up, we play 7 in the ruck just to try to neutralise the tap and charge at the ball either to get the stoppage or the clearance. Having 7 in the ruck means blitz adding height down back while we're 6-6-6 constrained for numbers. No, that's where I'll stop you. Blitz is coming off a wing.
Yeah, he plays starts on the wing, yep, and then...
So what happens is, it's a little triangle. Smith starts in the forward 50. He comes up to the wing. Blitzarves goes from the wing into the ruck. Radigalee goes from the ruck to forward.
Yeah.
That's the little triangle.
Is it the Bermuda? Not the Bermuda triangle,
well,
is it?
Well, no. Isaac Smith's actually having a very good year.
He was always going to.
Mm.
A bit of sort of, you know, playing in a good team. You know, the possibility of playing final, or not the possibility, the likelihood of finals, you know, playing alongside the calibre of Selwood, Hawkins, Jeremy Cameron. You know, he's a good player, Isaac Smith, so he wouldn't admit that, but not consciously, but subconsciously, his motivation drops off a bit playing at Hawthorn. They're going nowhere, and he's a bit of he's a bit of the cream on the cake type player.
Yep.
In a really good team, he's a really good player.
Yep.
In a team where you don't really want him having to go and get the ball, you wanted him to feed it out to him,
yep,
and that's where he becomes into his own at Geelong.
So thank you for that cat to the future. Sorry to shut you down 2 points in. Howl of 41. Once again, we get the win despite not producing our best work. Thank God for Joel Selwood. We will miss him when the 14 is finally hung up. Really impressed with Narkle's game. He started well but faded in games this year, but lifted when we needed it. Big ask this week for 7 blitz versus Grundy, but I feel the big number 17 is building and Reg Grundy will be a good test. Once again, the kicking inside 50 was at below average levels. Narkle was good.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, but like geez, I tell you what, he was very non-committal about his future, wasn't
he? Yeah, I think he's probably out the door, to be honest with you.
Ralph Carr shopping him around.
Yeah, and why
which
not?
Ralph has a history of...
Why not?
...doing.
Yeah, and why not? I've sort of maintained that he just needs to get games. He's played 21 games of footy. People say, oh, you know, I heard someone say during the week, a friend said, oh, yeah, he's not much good. I said, played 20 games.
I actually think he's actually quite a good player.
I've always thought he's a good player. Very good clearance player.
Yeah. Remember, he did a knee in his first season at the club.
He's only 23.
Yep.
But he missed a bit of time. He reminds me a bit of Alan Christensen.
Hmm.
Alan Christensen was a really good clearance player. Narkle is very good in traffic
Yep.
around the ball. And he will only get better. He just needs to play games, and unfortunately, it's not going to be at Geelong. Because when everybody's back in, well, if he keeps having 34 possessions,
he won't get squeezed.
Well, you wouldn't have thought, but at the end of it, he's going to think, well, the same blokes are fronting up again next year. Dangerfield, Selwood, Guthrie, Duncan, Smith, Higgins.
Yep.
Where am I getting a game? It's probably not at Geelong.
Yep.
Let's go somewhere else. Fremantle, West Coast. I'm sure they'll be shopping. Could the Cats package up Jordan Clark and Narkle and get Sean Darcy?
Darcy's re-signed.
Has he?
I believe.
And what's a bit of a spanner in that one then?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Darcy's going anywhere.
Just re-signed?
I think, well, there was some talk that he would, yeah. Am I getting that confused? No, I might be getting that confused because Duday's name was in it. Old Howdy Duday from St. Joseph's.
Howdy.
Howdy Duday. He's,
He was very close to deliberate out of bounds gate, wasn't he? He was right next to old Nick Murray when Nick decided just to.
No, I'm sure Darcy's committed to Freo.
He had a contract which was signed. I don't think it was this year. I reckon it was previous year. But that contract's in AFL footy. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. I just got a text message, Kingy.
Mm-hmm.
We got a nibble. When's this going?
Yeah, no, he's signed until the end of 2022.
Yeah, but that wasn't signed this year though.
No, that was done in 2018.
Yeah, so he potentially contracts mean nothing in footy. That's not something that'd be airtight. As we like to say.
No.
Have you ever been in any vessel that's airtight?
So who was this? Peter Sumich. I'm hearing big time he wants to go back to Geelong. See, this is where it's a misnomer. He was recruited from the Falcons. He's not from Geelong.
No, he's from Cobden.
He's from Cobden.
He's the nephew of Tim.
Mm.
But he played at the Falcons.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has an affiliation with Geelong.
Yeah, he does. But we get all this, you know, he wants to go back to Geelong. He's not from Geelong. Yeah, anyway. I understand the jump from AFL to VFL is big, but Darcy Fort can't do much more to put his case forward. Mark sit out's disposals. Only thing left to do is perhaps get the Schwarzkopf shampoo and conditioner and give the coach a nice relaxing hair treatment. Darcy Fort's doing all he can, and this VFL shutdown's come at the horrible time for somebody like him.
Yeah. He was playing well.
He's playing really well.
Let's put it this way. They're not changing it to bring in Darcy Fort unless there's an injury and he will get a crack above Reece Stanley.
Hey, boys, just wondering, this is from Foxdog50, if you've heard any rumours about Geelong chasing Sean Darcy. What would you say he'd be worth in a trade? Well, you know, is Clark and Narkle?
Yeah, I would have thought. Clark's a first-round draft pick. Narkle has the potential to be a really, really competent AFL player, you know, 150, 175 game player for your team, who's on the up. Geelong have put a fair bit of time into him. Darcy is a ruckman who has done his apprenticeship now by the end of this year.
Been under Sandilands.
Yeah, and he's probably played. He'd be over 50 games, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Geelong would be getting what you would classify as a ready-made ruckman. And Freo would be getting a first-round draft pick in Jordan Clark, who's got talent, albeit jury out what he does with that talent, and B, Narkle, who's a competent player. So I reckon that would be, you know, I reckon it'd be a fair enough trade. I reckon it'd be really disappointing to lose Narkle, but unfortunately that's just the strength of the Cats team at the moment means that, unfortunately, I reckon he's out the door.
Sean Darcy, exactly 50 games.
There you go.
All right. Charlie Constable, I feel for this bloke. Honestly, he would be a starting player at 12 other clubs. The way he finds the ball for a young fella, players like him don't grow on trees. Is he hard done by? He doesn't, he doesn't have a defensive side to his game. He does battle in that transition, defensive transition.
He's not that quick.
No.
No, just his leg speed is a concern. And he has a great knack of finding the ball, just it's that ability to actually move to defend it is probably not his strength, and he's not going to get any quicker. He's the sort of bloke that will dominate VFL footy, and he will find the ball at AFL level. We've already seen that. He's capable of that, but he's not. Yeah, just that leg speed is probably a concern, given the way the modern game is played and your ability to actually, you know,
go the other way.
Yeah, and he just doesn't quite have the leg speed to do that, and then people spread off him.
So why wouldn't that have been worked out when you draft him?
Yeah, well, that's probably a good point. I, you know,
you can't make blokes quick.
I like him because I think he's got great vision.
Yep.
And he's really creative.
He's a natural footballer.
He is, and his clearance work is superb, and he has great quick hands to release other players. So, you know, if you get him into the right midfield, I think that he could be a player. But in Geelong's midfield, I don't think he is when you've got the likes of Duncan, Selwood,
Guthrie.
Dangerfield.
Cam Guthrie.
Well, to a lesser degree, Guthrie. But guys who are really offensive,
yep.
You can't then have Constable in there as well because he's actually quite offensive, yep. as well. I don't mean offensive as in, yeah. maybe sort of on the poo-wee side of it. I mean offensive style of footy.
They're too attacking.
Yeah, so but if you got him into a mix where they needed somebody who was a little bit attacking and they already had the defensive sort of players within that midfield, he might be able to then fill a role. But just at Geelong, I just don't think his style complements what they've got.
Son of God 29. Jen, sounds crap you win, but wasn't expecting a lot given we were playing the Suns. Narkle was outstanding around the footy last week. He's clearly been taking on board all the tips Danger's been giving him regarding working around and leaving stoppages. Given the injuries to Duncan and Guthrie, would you be advocating players playing Jarvis and Constable in their place? This would allow Higgins to push up onto the wing with Jarvis playing half forward, or Constable could go to work around the stoppage as well. Guthrie is playing at this stage. Duncan won't play. The in is Max Holmes. Jarvis reminds me a little bit of Menzel, not just the number 10. Haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen any.
He does like to fly at the footy, which Menz like to do. And I think he can jag a goal, which obviously Menz could do pretty well as well. But I haven't
seen anything that sort of remotely resembles the former number 10. Prior to his knee injury, he was trending to be
the
best top 10 player in the comp.
Yeah. After watching the Pies play Port on Sunday, we must move the ball quickly at all times. The Pies will defend and try and make a game a defensive slugfest. Yes, obviously we spoke about that earlier with putting Moore and Roughhead, obviously, in their defensive 50. Does the wider football world underappreciate Joel Selwood? Last year, while he was injured, some media types wrote his football obituary. Boy, were they wrong. I'll put my hand up and say that I thought this would be Joel Selwood's last year. I thought he was struggling to the line.
No, I wasn't of that thought, Kingy. And, you know, I'm not always, you know, don't always...
You follow, are glass half empty.
I don't
empty.
Always follow the sort of the politically correct line. He was always, if his body was going to allow it, he's too good to,
well, that
to
was
just
my,
drift off.
That yeah, was well, my worry.
His body is clearly at 100%,
yep.
and he's playing like it. And even when his body wasn't 100%, he was still offering something. And he could play that really good game, but he just couldn't back it up. You know, for whatever reason, probably couldn't get the continuity of training, a whole variety of reasons. But this year he's obviously being able to train, back up, pull up well, recover well, and it's showing on the field. He was enormous last week, and after last week's performance, you'd probably think, I know we've spoken about it a bit on K-Rock, but he'd have to be one or two in the BNF.
Boys,
now.
When Myers becomes available again, probably post-buy, isn't he an automatic inclusion, or does Brad Close hold his place? This is from our LA correspondent.
Daz.
Yep. It's a great problem to have for mine, but Close stays in, and maybe Myers has to replace Dahl to get back in. That would be what I would be thinking.
Yeah, I just don't... Geez, it's a bit of an old conundrum, because Grind's not really a pressure player. He's your what you would classify as your traditional goal sneak, he and Delhaus are so different in terms of the way they play. I reckon Delhaus doesn't have great skill. He's not a great finisher.
He's dogged.
He's a terrier, and he will latch on, and he might split a pack even for his size. He'll lay a tackle. He'll sort of bob up. He's quite a physical player, even though he's not that big. Grind's not physical. But he has the capacity to be a link between the back half and the forward half because he's got an enormous tank. I think only blitz halves and maybe Menegola run. And I reckon he's probably alongside Menegola as the second best runner at the club.
Yep.
He has a huge tank. And I think if you look at the numbers each week, he is running more than anybody potentially in that Geelong side, maybe other than blitz halves. Whereas Delhaus can't really do that. Grind's quite a good kick. I know his styles can look a bit awkward when he's having a set shot, but he is actually quite a good kick. Every now and then he'll muff one, but the great players muff them, don't worry about that. But he is quite a competent kick, and having that link in the modern game, when you're struggling to get the ball out of your back half, he can come up the field and then he's got the tank to get back and then still be involved up forward. So they're both small forwards, but they're very different in the way they play. So Geelong would have to weigh up what they want. Do they want that clinical goal kicker who might kick you three, or do they want Dalhouse who maybe lays a few tackles? Dalhouse has been out of form predominantly though, hasn't he?
And creates maybe three or four goals because of a pressure, you know, pressure maybe, act that he brings.
Maybe. So would they rely on Rowan and Close to be your pressure players, yep, and then rely on Myers to be the bloke who can cream on the crop to kick you a couple of goals in a tight final? Because if he gets three shots of goal, he's probably going to kick you 2-1.
Yep. Also from Daz Broncos, for the Kerr's Hire VFL player watch, this week it's Stefan Ockenbohr. His defensive intensity last week was brutal and amazing all at once. Good runner, massive unit that hits harder than all the Bengals' defence combined.
Oh, come on, Daz, give us a spell. We're going to have a...
So Cincinnati Bengals that Daz is talking about, who Benny follows in the NFL.
Religiously, we're going to be very, very good this year. So
are you?
Yep.
Is Burrow going to be okay?
Yep. He's on fire. We've drafted this bloke who's like, wow. He's like Joel Selwood, Chris
drafted?
Judd. His name's Jamar Chase.
Where have you drafted him
Pick
from?
Pick 5 from LSU.
LSU?
So he didn't play last year.
Right.
And he played with Burrow when they won the national championship.
Yes.
Yeah, he can seriously play. He's a wide receiver.
So why didn't
receiver.
He play last year?
Because of COVID.
Oh, they didn't
he
play.
He opted out.
He opted out, did he? Right. Play. I was going to say, because they still played college.
Yeah, they
football.
Did. Some did, but he decided not to. Okay. So, but anyway, it's going to be a pants down sort of arrangement for the Bengals. Yeah. Haven't won a playoff game for 30 years, longest streak in the NFL.
They're not changing this year.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, maybe not.
You've been set up for failure before.
No, we've got some, we're getting it right now, Kingy. After 30 years of getting it wrong, we're getting it right. So, anyway, what are we talking about? Graham Myers.
No, Stefan Ockenbohr.
Well, I haven't seen much of him play. I did watch a bit of that game last week, albeit it was so lopsided to turn it over. He is very physical.
Yeah. He's very raw.
Yeah,
but do you know what?
He's very robotic.
But do you know what, though? He's got the potential to be Mark O'Connor like that. What happens is that, so Mark O'Connor just surprised us and they picked him out of nowhere. We didn't think he was playing AFL footy. That's what the Cats may do, and he might just need that, a look at the higher level. And he may adapt very quickly to it like O'Connor did. And so I suspect we might see him back half of the year, especially if the Cats get themselves into a position
where they can play a few.
Yeah.
How old is he?
21 or 22.
Yeah. You're right, he's raw. He's very, very physical. Is that a good thing in the modern game?
The physicality. Mm. It's how you use your physicality.
Yeah. I'm not sure that it's an asset as it once was. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but he does have a lot of raw edges that obviously need to be refined.
Collingwood Geelong, Benny, yep. At the MCG, the Cats will wear their Indigenous jumper,
yeah, it's
part of the Doug Nicholls Indigenous round. Nice design by Karina Eccles, who's a local Wadawurrung woman. So looking forward to seeing that.
Yep.
We've got 4 Kangaroo Jack.
The Collingwood will be wearing theirs, obviously.
They've got a nice one too.
Do you know who designed theirs?
No, I'm not sure. 4 Kangaroo. Eddie? 4 Kangaroo Jack Sherrins to give away.
Who has?
Which we do on air. So
what, full-size ones?
Yep. Yep, they're from Narana Cultural Centre, of course.
How do I get hands on one of those? Do I have to ring up?
You have to ring in. So if you just disappear out and then go out and put out a fake voice, we'll know who it is. So we've got 4 of those to give away tomorrow.
I'll see if I get Harold to ring in.
haven't heard from Harold for a while.
It's been a bit difficult for him. He's had a few technical problems.
Right. Mike Warnow is going to join us.
Oh, is he?
Pre-game, yeah. In our play for
Mark
both.
Warnow?
Mo Mike.
Oh, his dad?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so Mark didn't play for both clubs. Mark barely played for Geelong, the poor bugger.
Yeah, he did more knees.
So Mike's going to join us, played about 120 with the Cats and 20-odd with the Pies. He's living up on the Gold Coast. So
it would have been a few to pick from with that sort of crossover, was it?
Yeah, not easily accessible. See, Trav Varko would have been perfect for Sir Doug Nicholls' Indigenous round, but he's still tied up with the Bulldogs. So getting those that are still tied up at other clubs is not easy.
Right.
I did get a few people wanting Carl Steinfurt.
Yeah, he was pick 17 in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually became a reasonable sort of player.
Played a couple of grand finals with the Pies.
Yeah, he became I remember he was much maligned.
He became a bit of a stopper.
He did, yeah. Yeah, he sort of transformed himself a little bit because I know Cats fans weren't exactly enamoured with his performances early, but he cut a bit of a niche in footy and good on him. So what's he do? He's been overseas, I reckon.
Who's that?
I think he was a
Carl
bit
Steinfurt.
Of a, yeah, I think he was a bit of a traveller, wasn't
he? A bit of a nomad.
Yeah, a bit, I don't know about a nomad, but no, certainly not a grey nomad.
No. He had a beard. Yeah, he rocked a fairly good beard late in his career.
Yeah, he did. All those young blokes rock beards. I think it's trendy. It's like tattoos.
Look, yeah, and then you try and grow a beard. And
no, there's no way. No,
this not flaming be, red thing.
Nah, but yeah, be someone would get the cornflakes caught in it. But your beards and tats are sort of a big thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I haven't got
time for that.
No.
Yeah, okay, so we're on here from midday. And we'll have those give away, the four kangaroo Jack Sherrins, which look fantastic. So,
yeah, that's going to be huge,
King. Give us a call. We're going to do our mid-season kaji.
Oh, the old mid-season kaji.
So that's what we're going to get people to ring in about. Yeah. Bring in with your top three kaji, if you will counting votes right now.
Selwood. This is not... This is just the top...
No particular preference.
Selwood. Guthrie. Tom Stewart.
Yeah, I'm not too far from that either.
What are you then?
Yeah, no, I'm that, actually.
Yeah.
Probably with Guthrie on top.
I think Mitch Duncan would be up there too, just missing...
Missed the first two.
Yeah, if you were but don't they take that out, don't they?
They do, yeah, they'll go back to their best 17.
So if we were going on their system,
well,
I think Duncan's probably top three.
Yeah,
definitely.
If they go back to that.
So they'll be can we go top four there?
If you want. So we're going to do that tomorrow.
Righty, I'll look forward to it. I can't wait to see the Pussycats and the Pies do battle at the Mecca of footy.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.